Some low-wage workers will see a boost in their next paycheck. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. The new fiscal year starts for many state and local governments this week, and with that, several states, some cities, and a few metro areas are raising their minimum wages. This comes at a time when unemployment remains low and many voters are pushing for better pay. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
In a tight labor market, employers have to compete for workers. That means they may also raise wages if they want to keep good workers, says Donald Grimes, an economist at the University of Michigan. He says only 3 to 4% of the workforce earns the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Many states and localities have minimum wages that are higher.
Even in states that are not experiencing the mandated minimum wage increases, firms are having to have to increase their wages to find workers.
So, who is still getting paid minimum wage? Workers in fast food, home health, and retail. Sylvia Allegrado, an economist at UC Berkeley, says many of those workers are women and people of color who haven't benefited as much from the economic gains of the past decade. And for these workers?
Now it seems like even when the labor market tightens up, it's still difficult to get increases in wages.
So were our workers seeing minimum wages go up this week? Places where the cost of living is high. Coastal states like Oregon and New Jersey. Cities like Washington, D.C. and Chicago. And municipalities and metros like Los Angeles and the Bay Area. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is taking a fresh look at bank overdrafts. A decade ago, the CFPB said banks were required to get customer approval before signing people up for overdraft protection, which may charge a $35 fee if you overdraw your account rather than just rejecting a charge. Banks make billions of dollars a year in these fees, and the American Bankers Association says the rule should stay as it is. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more.
Before the Federal Reserve Board set the overdraft rule in 2009, banks could automatically enroll people in overdraft protection. Now, if people don't have enough money in their checking accounts, they can choose to have their purchases rejected to avoid paying fees. Rhonda Thomas-Whitley is with the Independent Community Bankers of America.
There is enough regulatory protections and guidance and scrutiny as it relates to overdraft services.
Consumers paid more than $11 billion in overdraft fees last year, according to the Pew Charitable Trust. Deborah Goldstein with the Center for Responsible Lending says even with this overdraft rule in place, some banks get away with too much.
They often use misleading advertising to convince people to opt in. We also think that the fees are very expensive.
The CFPB must examine the rule under a federal law that requires agencies to review regulations that might affect small businesses. The agency says it expects to complete its review by November. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down or mostly flat in the 0 to 0.1% range, with the Dow futures down 19 points.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Chinese tech giant Huawei now has a reprieve from U.S. sanctions. It's part of the trade war truce declared over the weekend by President Trump and China's Xi Jinping. There are a few details, but Huawei may be able to keep buying American parts to make smartphones, less of a security concern than telecom gear. Marketplace's Scott Tong recently returned from a trip to China, where he reports that over the last 5 years or so, Huawei grew from a local favorite to a global smartphone superpower.
Huawei is the number two phone seller in the world, just behind Samsung and ahead of Apple. It dominates sales in China, where Huawei's Androids can do what all phones do. They stream video. In this case, Chinese wedding melodrama. they take selfies.
Huawei
user Duan Meng, full disclosure, she's a distant in-law of mine, lives in the tech city of Shenzhen, where Huawei is based. She pulls up a selfie app.
It has all kinds of functions, face lengthening, skin whitening. I always buy Huawei. The camera's better, so is the battery.
In China, Huawei sells three times more phones than Apple. And in Europe, each has about a quarter of the market. Now, many Americans miss the Huawei rise. It barely sells here. But analyst Avi Greengard at Techxponential raves about the company's new $1,000 P30 Pro, especially its camera.
It has, without question, the best low-light camera capability. This will turn night into day if you want it to.
Shenzhen analyst Steve Dai spent 16 years at the company. He says Huawei has thrown a lot of money and a lot of workers at the handset business.
Huawei workers are like locusts. They're everywhere. Our product quality was worse before, but we made up for it in hard work.
Dai says Huawei's breakthrough came in 2014. Competitor Apple's image suffered when the U.S. movie stars had their iPhone photos hacked. And Samsung's design lagged, he says, just as Huawei put out a winning phone.
We put the fashion factor in. Big screen, better battery, fingerprint recognition.
That's when Huawei began taking over, in China and then globally. Now, the U.S., which had cut Huawei off from American technology like Google's Android software, may give the company a reprieve under the new trade truce. So analyst Greengard thinks Huawei could still thrive in Europe and Asia.
There will need to be a major marketing campaign. They will probably try to spin this as a Trump trade negotiating tactic.
That Huawei is an innocent political victim. At least that's the view in Shenzhen, where Huawei is king. People here like to note that Huawei's logo, if you look closely, resembles a sliced-up apple. In Shenzhen, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.